If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is proud to be part of the Osiris podcasting family, a growing community of music and culture podcasts connecting music fans like you with conversation, commentary, and music. For more, visit osirispod.com. The show starts now. You've been listening to Cold Facts from Lotus's latest release, Frames Per Second. While I'm not generally a Jamtronica kind of guy, when this album hit my inbox, I gave it several spins before reaching out to the Lotus team to get someone on the show. Actually, Frames Per Second was somewhat of a surprise for fans of this band, since they released it without the typical fanfare, build-up, or hype that is assumed for a new release. I caught up with Luke Miller to talk about the new record and their plans for 2019. Our conversation started, though, when I asked Luke why they decided to drop the record without the conventional marketing plan.
Sometimes with all the, like, trying to build stuff up for months and months can almost be, I don't know, not counterproductive, but so we could get just as much mileage out of just dropping out of nowhere as trying to do some big hype buildup.
Has it been a project that you were working on a long time? I know that you guys recorded it at the Rittenhouse Soundworks in Philly, and you had cameras rolling, which is cool because obviously there's going to be an accompanying video of some kind. Did you guys know that you were going to do this? How long has this project been in the works?
So, that recording was done last December, so just about a year ago. And, it took a while to edit all the video and do all the mixing. And, to get the vinyl printed, you have to get in line behind everybody else is trying to get vinyl printed and stuff.
Right.
So we wrote the demos last year, then rehearsed them a little bit, and then recorded them in December last year.
When you say you wrote the demos, a lot of this stuff is improv, but does it come from a certain place? Are there some charts and then you improv off the charts? I'm curious how, I know every band in this genre does it a little bit differently. Is it charts and then you guys improv off the charts, or how does that all work?
There's a little bit of improv on this album, but, most of that stuff is written beforehand as far as, like, the structures, and there's just moments within the song that are improvised. But, Jesse, my brother, the bassist, and I have all those demos written and recorded, and then once we get together with the band, we can do some tweaking as far as the individual parts and stuff. But, yeah, they're mostly all written out. We don't necessarily do charts, but, we have demo recordings of them.
Right. And in terms of what instruments you're going to use, not in terms of, you're going to play keys and Jesse's going to play bass, but in terms of what keyboard you're going to use and what sounds you're going to use, is that all agreed to again before you go? Because this record is so diverse in its sound and instrumentation, more, I think, than any of your previous records. There's a lot going on.
Oh, really? That's interesting, because we almost thought of it as the opposite of
limiting
ourselves to certain gear and just kind of keeping that palette limited. So Jesse has got a decent collection of, like, vintage keyboard gear going on. So for this record, we mostly stuck with that. So I was playing clavinet, Wurlitzer, Juno 106. He's got this keyboard called an Octave Cat, and those are the main ones I use on this record.
And is it mostly you playing guitar? I mean, there's a lot of guitar, but Mike is obviously playing some guitar too. But there's some leads in some of the songs. Are those mostly you or mostly Mike?
That's almost all Mike.
Right.
I only played guitar on two tracks.
So almost 20 years into this, is going into the studio something that you kind of have to do just to keep the appetite of your rabid fans at bay, or what made you decide that you needed to record something?
Well, for me, writing new music is the most fun part of being a musician, and it is, I don't know, that's like an aspect that I would never want to give up. I would much easier say, I'd never have to get on a plane or a tour bus again.
Right.
But writing music, that's, for me, that's the most fun aspect.
So let's talk about some of the songs on the record, because they're like I said, in my opinion, and maybe I'm way out there, but there are things that are a little bit different, I think. Gunk is one of them, and it came out of an experiment, what you guys deemed the G-Funk experiment. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
So, yeah, sometimes when I'm working on a group of demos, I like to give myself, like, almost assignments. So I had this idea of kind of trying to write a demo in all these different styles of funk, and I love that kind of G-Funk sound, like the Dr. Dre kind of thing.
Right.
So this is kind of my, you know, it's not a direct representation of that, but it's kind of my homage to that sound with like the really deep synth bass and then kind of these little high-end flourishes. There's got the, there's this percussion thing that's, it's like a metal, like a strip of metal. It's called a flexitone, so you can strike it and then bend the tone, so that's on there. It's kind of like this cheap toy instrument that used a lot in those G-Funk recordings. And but we kind of threw in a little more like jazzy elements. There's like a key modulation between the two parts and stuff. So a little bit of our sound, a little bit of the G-Funk sound.
Are you primarily responsible for writing the stuff, or does everybody get together? Or, you know, how does that process work for you guys?
Most of the albums are split about 50-50 between Jesse and I, but we work on our own demos and then we kind of work together.
Shout out the producers, Norwegian producers, Todd, Terj, and Lindstrom. And I know that in the publicity materials that I was sent, some of their stuff was the basis of Gifford's Airship and Fortune Flavors and Cosmosis. Gifford's Airship, though, there's like this Beatles thing going on, or am I again totally off base? There is a there's a melody that's very familiar, more familiar than.
No, yeah, you're spot on, and kind of that Beatles psychedelia was something we kind of wanted to reference, and it's kind of like a chromatic chord change that the Beatles would use, a similar type thing. Back in that kind of psychedelic era.
Right.
So that, yeah, just another kind of harmonic flavor to put in there.
There are a lot of these flavors and a lot of songs that, you know, I'm not typically a big Jamtronica guy, but I found myself really digging a lot of the groove on this record. It seems like there's a lot of groove and a lot more fun. Were you guys having fun when you were actually performing this stuff live off the floor?
Well, I mean, we were having fun. It was like we did four really long days, so we kind of like banged it out really fast. So sometimes you get a little lost in the just, you know, the one more take kind of thing. But we wanted to do it quick and keep it kind of raw and not overthink it. But as far as like the whole quote-unquote Jamtronica thing, you know, no one likes to be pigeonholed. And
no, absolutely.
We've kind of taken up that mantle of Jamtronica because there's, you know, there's no other real good term for what we do. But yeah, for this record, we definitely want to have that kind of fun, bouncy, funky vibe going throughout.
Aquamarine is certainly one of those songs that's bouncier than others. It has this rubbery funk to it. Is it fun to write this stuff? I would imagine, you know, it's fun for people to listen to it and certainly dance at shows and what have you. But is it fun to put this stuff together and solve? I would imagine songwriting's a lot like solving a riddle or a puzzle and coming up with, you know, the melodies and the lines and the instrumentation. Is it fun to put these songs together?
Oh, absolutely. And like with a song like that, once I was, you know, the beat is fairly simple with the drums kind of before the floor, but once I worked out like the specific rhythm of the keyboard and how the bass was kind of going to be bouncing along, yeah, it's kind of something you can just put on loop and listen to for a long time while I was writing it, trying to come up with, you know, all the melodies and the different parts. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're 20 years, almost 20 years into this now, and I'm curious about, it's too early to say legacy, but, you know, we touched on this notion of Jamtronica, but you guys really were, you know, amongst a few others, pioneers in this genre. And I know that you don't like to pigeonhole yourselves, but you kind of are in the instrumental dance music jam band thing, whatever you want to call it. You kind of are pioneers. Have you been impressed with what's happened in terms of other people picking up on what you're doing and exploring territory that you guys have explored for many years now?
Well, it has been cool to see, you know, other bands that have come up and they're kind of citing us as one of their main influences.
It's, right.
You know, when we were coming up, we had all these other bands that we looked to. And so it's kind of cool to see that we're able to do that for somebody else. I don't know. It's definitely flattering, and we try to keep doing something different and keep, you know, pushing our own boundaries so we're not just repeating ourselves, and hopefully we can keep inspiring new people.
You're going out on tour, or, you know, you're a band that has to probably be on tour a lot. You're going down to Mexico for a week, and then you're on the road again for a while. Does it get old being on the road as much as you guys are on the road with the same sort of folks? I mean, I know that, you know, Justin's family and all, but does it get a little bit much? Jesse's family and all, but does it get a bit much?
Yeah, you know, being on the road is kind of, it wears you down a bit. You know, you're not getting the appropriate amount of sleep and stuff, but as part of the job, and I really would want to have a different job at this point, so it's how we make our bread.
Yeah. What's been the highlight for you more recently and then over the last, you know, 20 years in terms of either playing a festival or playing with other people on stage? What have been some of your highlights?
I mean, there's been so many things. A little vignette that just jumped to my mind was playing some of these random shows that we've played in Japan over the years.
Right.
Kind of look around and you're like, how do we end up at this, you know, this side of this mountain performing at 4 a.m. or, you know, in this crazy club in Tokyo, or I don't know. It's just sometimes it, you're going through the motions, and then other times it seems a little, I don't know, almost, it's a little weird almost, where you're just kind of playing your instruments and stuff, and it's kind of taking you to these random locations and to meet random people. I don't know. I guess I'm not doing a great job.
No, it's good because I'm curious about the Japan experience, because that, you know, that's a whole other group of people that are listening to your music and digging the vibe and probably likely packing places like, you know, Fuji Rock to see you. Is that must be like totally trippy that, you know, it's not people that you would expect hearing your music. And I guess, you know, in the internet age now, it's a wide swath of people who can listen to your stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of wish the jam improvised scene had a bit more of a foothold in Europe, because we really haven't been able to do much over there. But
right.
Yeah, for some reason, you know, we've been to Japan 5 or 6 times over the years. And, I don't know. For some reason, the Europeans haven't really caught on to it.
Which is weird, because you're sort of influenced by a lot of, you know, European bands and a lot of, you know, Kraftwerk and other bands.
Yeah, especially like kind of late 90s European producers was a big early influence on what we were doing.
Yeah, so it's weird that it hasn't translated. You must, yeah, I guess it's, there are better exporters than importers of this of this music. Right?
Yeah, I don't have the answers.
So you dropped the record. Is the video out already, or are you going to be releasing that separately? How is that going to work?
It's out right now. You can rent it for $4. You can see the whole thing, or you can buy it for $10. We just put up one full song today, Aquamarine. We put out that video. It's up on YouTube now. So yeah, you can, it's the full album of us just performing it in the studio.
Minus the light show. I mean, that's what you guys are absolutely known for, your amazing stage show and the lights when you perform. So it'll be a little bit different for folks, right?
Yeah, it's a little more intimate look, you know, it's a little more like close-ups on the instruments and how we're performing everything, and yeah, a little more raw.
What's cool too is that you get to see how you all engage with one another while you're performing these songs, which is probably not something people get to see when they come to your shows.
Yeah, and you know, it's more done through the auditory mode for us.
Right.
I know there's not so much of like the James Brown hand gesturing and whatnot. We're concentrating and listening to each other.
Yeah. Very cool, man. Congratulations on this record. It takes a pretty big cojones to just drop a record and not want to build it up with hype, and I'm sure it's doing real well. And thanks for taking the time. It's a great record, truly. I really enjoyed listening to it, and good luck on the tour, and try to stay warm in Mexico. Jeez, that sucks. You have to go there for 5 days, but enjoy it.
Well, thanks, Ira. Thanks for checking out the record, and it was nice to talk to you.
Really super interesting stuff, and I plan to get Lotus into more frequent rotation here at the studio. I really dig their vibe and the attention they pay to their craft. These guys are serious music nerds, and they work hard at what they do. From what I understand, their live shows are not to be missed, combining all kinds of awesome lighting to their high-energy music. For more on Lotus, check out lotusvibes.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to Aquamarine, my favorite track off of Frames Per Second.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.